Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 7, day 3 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Revelation 14, 1 through 13. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/Revelation week 7. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Click subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Store to get this Bible study 5 days a week for your commute, workout, or wherever else you may listen. I want to encourage you to do something very special over the next few weeks. Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, has asked us to pray to end Bible poverty worldwide. We need believers and unbelievers reading the Bible so they can know God. Would you consider praying to end Bible poverty on a weekly and daily basis? If so, would you please go to endbiblepovertynow.com and sign up to pray? With that, why don't we go ahead and pray before we start? Lord, would you end Bible poverty worldwide? Would you cause your people to begin reading your word on a daily basis? Would you provide your beautiful word to every tongue on earth? Raise up translators, messengers, missionaries, and workers for your global harvest through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's jump into Revelation. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Revelation 14, 1. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven, like the roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they remain virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among mankind and offered as firstfruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. So here, John is now telling us, we've moved on from his description of Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet, this unholy trinity, this mock trinity, and now he's turning back to something a little bit more positive. You know, we were told that, you know, there's going to be this mark of the beast, and the Antichrist is going to be given authority over mankind and especially over God's people to wage war against them and overcome, to conquer them. So now we're seeing something a little bit more positive. We're moving in this parenthetical section. We're still on pause from the forward momentum of events in the book of Revelation. We're still in this parenthetical section. We're seeing something a little bit more positive now. We're seeing the Lamb. We're seeing Jesus himself, and he's standing on Mount Zion. And with him are the 144,000 people who've been redeemed from the earth. Now, I don't know who these 144,000 are. You know, we looked earlier in the book of Revelation and saw that there was 144,000 who had this mark on them. Maybe it's the same group of people. It might be the same 144,000 Israelites that God redeemed, or it could be different. We don't know. John never links them. The number is very conspicuous that it could be the same group of people, but the Lord really loves using these numbers. He loves playing with numbers. You know, if you're a scientist or if you follow science, you know, especially physics, physicists will say that math is the language of the universe. And who is the creator of the universe but God himself? And so he loves numbers. He loves math. He plays with these things all the time. And so I don't know for sure that this is the same group, but it very well might be. But in the end, it's relatively inconsequential because these 144,000, they are 144,000 people specifically chosen and ordained by God that Jesus is going to ride with them. Now, when we look at Old Testament passages, Old Testament scriptures, and I encourage you, if you want to delve deeper into this, get my book, the Bible study, the 10-week Bible study in the book of Revelation. Go to Amazon and search for 10-week Bible or my name, Darren Hibbs, and you'll be able to pull that up. And you can go a little bit deeper into this. I go into a lot of the Old Testament passages and things like that that are referenced here that we need to understand. But in the Old Testament, we understand that the messianic prophecies about Jesus, when he comes as the reigning and ruling Messiah, what is going to happen is he's actually going to stand on the Mount of Olives. and he's going, which is very near the Mount Zion here. It's in Jerusalem. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, where, you know, he was with his disciples that night, where he was arrested in the garden. There's beautiful imagery here. He was arrested there, and there's going to be all of these people that the Antichrist has locked up, thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've been held in captivity that are in internment camps in the city of Jerusalem. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to split it in two. He's going to make a valley through the Mount of Olives, and all of these people who have been encamped there, they're going to escape to the east past Jesus. And so Jesus is coming here in authority, in power. Now we've moved to the end of the Great Tribulation. We were shown in chapter 13, the Antichrist and the false prophet and their activities and the authority they're given from the beginning of the tribulation period to the end. And now we're here at the end of the Great Tribulation period, and we're showing that Jesus is now here. Now, you know, this is very interesting that there's this song from heaven that only the 144,000 know how to sing. I don't understand the relevance of that. I mean, I have read this so many times, and I don't get why that's important. But again, we will know why it's important. We will know the power of this when these days come. There's so much beauty in this that the Lord has readied and ordained these people for such a time as this. You know, we know that they're men because it says that they did not defile themselves with women. They're virgins. So don't let that offend you. There's so many other things that we can be offended about in the book of Revelation. Don't let that offend you, that women defile men. That's not exactly what it's saying here. It's saying that these are probably most likely young people, and they have not defiled themselves with fornication. They have not slept with people outside of wedlock. That's what it's saying here. But they are 144,000 men that God has specifically chosen for this activity. And they're going to follow Jesus wherever he goes. Now, we're going to see a little bit later that it's like the armies of heaven. There's going to be more than 144,000 that are following Jesus as he comes down to earth in this beautiful moment that we're seeing the first picture of here. We know that there's more than 144,000, but it's these 144,000. It's like this is his inner circle, his inner army that he's going to come to earth with. And this is going to be a beautiful moment in the days of creation, of history, of the church. This is this moment where Jesus is returning to earth. And we're just getting this first glimpse. John is giving us the first glimpse of what's going on. And it's beautiful for us. And as we're about to read on from verse 6 to 13, we're going to find out it's going to be very disastrous for the people who took the mark of the beast. It's going to be very bad for everyone else besides God's people. So let's read on. Verse 6, then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, and let me stop right there, actually. You know, Jesus used this same verbiage. He said that the end will not come until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to every ethnos, to every people, every you know, people group. Ethnos means people group. It doesn't mean, you know, France. It doesn't mean Africa. It means every individual language. And so I think it's very interesting. It breaks out here again that this angel is the one who carries the gospel. This gospel that every missionary has carried to the ends of the earth. There's an angel. There's a literal angel in heaven who has charge over that message. And every missionary, every person that carries the gospel, not just to the faraway people, but every person that carries the message of the gospel is in partnership with this angel who's been given charge over the gospel. And it's not a gospel that we'll proclaim just in this age. It's the eternal gospel. And it's that powerful message that we deserved every negative thing that's coming here. We deserved it. We deserve an eternity of punishment and separation from God. But because of Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross, we will have eternal life. That is not a gospel message for right now. That will have its power in a billion years. That message will never lose its edge. The gospel is not what we preach today. It is what we will marvel at for all eternity. Verse 7, he said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." I think it's very interesting that the angel who has charge over the gospel is the one that's proclaiming judgment to the wicked people on earth. I think that's very interesting. Verse 8, a second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." Now, this is, again, a foreshadowing. This is why we read the book of Revelation over and over and over again, because we haven't been introduced to Babylon the Great yet. But we're going to find out very shortly how important Babylon is to the story of Revelation, to the why of Revelation. Read Revelation once a week for these 10 weeks. If you haven't started yet, start reading the book of Revelation once a week. There's so much in this book that you need to have familiarity with it. Don't study it. I'm not telling you to study it once a week. I'm telling you just to read it. Just read it. Don't stop at things and try and figure them out. Don't, you know, stop at certain things and pop over the internet and do searches. I'm saying just read it. If you have a tendency to stop, have it read to you. That's so powerful. Just have the Bible app on your smartphone or on your computer read it to you, so you'll be less inclined to stop, because just getting it in you, getting familiar with the words of Revelation, is so powerful. And so we need to be familiar with all of these things, because here it is again telling us something that we haven't been told yet. But it's very interesting what's going to take place is Babylon the Great has made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. And what's Jesus going to do? He's about to turn that around on their head. Verse 9, a third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, for anyone who receives the mark of its name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus." Verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven say, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." You know, that's a challenging statement right there. This is, as it's being said, you know, to people who die during this great tribulation period. It's going to take patience. Understand what it's saying here. It's going to be worth it. At least, you know, the angel, Jesus is showing John here again that the beauty of what's going to happen. But again, he steps back and said, just like in chapter 13, this is going to take patience on the part of the saints to stay faithful to Jesus, because this is going to be very difficult for us. But it's going to be worth it. Because it's difficult doesn't mean it's going to be impossible. But it is going to be difficult. He's telling us straight up. And when the Lord tells us that it's going to be hard on the front, it's because we need to know. When it's hard, and hear me say this. I know this from experience, not to the level that we're going to go through this, but I know this from experience. When the Lord speaks on the front end, clearly, know that it's more than likely going to be very challenging, and you're going to question things. You can prepare yourself mentally for how challenging things can be, but you can never prepare yourself emotionally. Your emotions always spring up in the midst of challenges. I've not met the person yet who can mentally prepare themselves emotionally to go through difficult things. Mentally, yes. We can get ourselves psyched up. We can get prepared, but we cannot deal with the emotions. We need the active presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to deal with the emotions when they rise up. This one, the patience of the saints will not come from people who have mentally prepared themselves. It will come from people who have spiritually seasoned themselves with an ongoing and intimate walk with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that, get it. If you don't have an intimate walk with the Holy Spirit now, get it. It will be life or death to you if you walk through these times. Because it will be challenging. You will rest from your labors. You will rest from your patient endurance when this is over. You will be rewarded for eternity beyond your wildest imaginations. It will be worth it, but it will be difficult. And the key factor is, do you have an ongoing walk with the Holy Spirit? Do you know how to hear his voice? Because I guarantee you, and those of you with some life experience know what I'm saying, the mind is powerful, but the emotions are stronger. And when it comes time to walk through this, we will need power over our emotions. And we will get that by having an intimate walk with God. That's it for the 10-week Bible study today. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Be back tomorrow.